All right. Hey, we are excited that you're here with us at Summer Series. Hey, I hope you guys have enjoyed this summer. We have loved being with you. You have gotten to hear from, have you guys enjoyed some of our leaders teaching this summer? Hadn't that been awesome? Okay, 8 of you enjoyed that. That's good. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we're excited you're here tonight. I want to share with you a story. Some of you may not know this. You may have read about this in your spare time, about my illustrious college basketball career. And I'm sure you've seen it, many articles about it. I grew up in Oklahoma and played basketball in high school. And then when I was in high school, I had a little bit of a good career there, so to speak. And I thought I was going to be this guy that would go to the University of Kansas or Kansas State to play basketball, because I grew up in Kansas first, and then I moved to Oklahoma. And after I started getting recruited, none of the Division I schools were interested in me, and so they would say, hey, Bron, you could walk on, and we'll figure it out from there. And so I ended up playing for, recruited by a school called Oklahoma City University. That's where I went to college. And it's the Harvard of the Midwest. I'm sure you've probably heard of it. And I played basketball there. And when it came down to where I'd go to school, I was like, hey, maybe I should walk on. And my parents were like, they're going to pay for school. You're going there. And so I went to OCU. And I thought I was going to be that guy that played basketball and would hopefully have a decent college career basketball. And then if I did well, I would be like every athlete that would, at the end of the game, would say, I'd just like to thank the man upstairs. Without him, none of this would have been possible. You know, all that give glory to God, all the things that people do when they're good players. And what happened was, my first year, I had a pretty good freshman year. I got to start and did some things. And then my sophomore year, I turned my left ankle in the early on in the season. And then I tried to come back too quick, and I turned my right ankle, so I wasn't much good. If I have both ankles, kind of, you know, trying to play basketball, and so I sat a lot of bench. I like to tell people that I had great seats and all the water I could drink for the rest of that season, and so I thought, well, my junior year, that will be the year that I'll get healthy again, and I'll get to come back. And well, what happened was, at the end of my sophomore year, my coach left, and a new coach came in. And he recruited this guy from Macon, Georgia, named Eric Manuel. And Eric Manuel was a McDonald's All-American out of high school. Bron wasn't even a Burger King good player, okay? But he was an amazing player, like probably one of the top 5 players in the country. And he went to this little school called Kentucky. They have a decent basketball tradition there. And he played basketball there. He started for Kentucky, and he got in some trouble cheating on a test, and he got kicked out of Kentucky. And then my coach said, we'd love to have you. And so he came down to our school, and he played my position. And so I remember thinking, hey, my plans that I had coming into this was, I was going to be the humble guy, thank the Lord. But what happened was, once Eric came in, as I got to watch him play for the next 2 years. And I remember thinking in that time that, man, Lord, this wasn't my plan. I would have loved to have continued to play basketball and been a starter and had some kind of awards and all that kind of thing. But what was so great about this plan that the Lord had for me rather than my plan was that God had a plan for me to begin to really understand what it looked like to be about eternal things. And so I started working at this camp called Kanakuk in the summer, and I was a counselor there for a lot of summers, and then I was a programs guy there. And the Lord began to awaken my heart for ministry, and it was such a good thing for me. And as I look back, if I would have known what God was doing in the middle of that, I wouldn't have been discouraged at all. In fact, as he began to wean me off of basketball and awaken my heart for serving him, man, I was so excited about going to camp. Our coaches would say, hey, do you want to stick around the summer and work out with us? Be really good for you. And I go, no, I'm going to camp. And I would go serve there. And it was an amazing time. And I will tell you that some of the way that I'm here tonight, and the reason I've been at Watermark for the last 17, 18 years, a big part of that was because of what the Lord began to do in college when he took my plans and he changed them. And so, and that's the music that I wanted to come on every time I say that. Just kidding. So, So when he took my plans and he began to change them. So here's my contention tonight is that many of you guys may be like me when I was in college, or and I'm still like this at times, is that you've got your plans and you've said, Lord, I've got these plans and I'm going to tell you what those plans are. And then if you'll just put your stamp on it and you'll just agree with my plans, because I think my plans are better than your plans, if we're really honest. And so my contention tonight is that many of us are doing that and we're frustrated, we're discontent, or maybe kind of hit the wall with our plans because we go, Lord, this isn't how I thought we had an agreement. Okay, I would figure out what I wanted my life to look like and you would say blessing and you'd make it happen. That sounds crazy that we would have that deal with the Lord, but I think that's how many of us operate. And I think we're missing out on this opportunity to walk with the Lord and trust him and really know him. And because what happened in college is when the Lord began to wean me off of basketball and all the applause of man and that kind of thing, audiences, that kind of thing, when he kind of took that away, I started to go, man, I could be rich towards God. That's what the scripture talks about, that I could be about eternal things where rust and moth don't destroy the good stuff. And I just didn't know what God was doing. And isn't it amazing when you look back sometimes, hindsight is 20/20. You look back, oh, that's what God was doing. And he wanted me to learn to trust him. And so tonight we're going to talk about a story in the Old Testament where I think the Lord's going to remind you of this maybe in your life. I think you're going to see yourself in this character that we're going to look at tonight. It's almost like God's reaching out his hand to you. And he's going, will you trust me? Because I think I have something better than your plans. So the story is in 2 Kings. If you have that on your phones or if you have your Bible tonight, 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is a great story of a guy named Naaman. And Naaman was a Syrian commander. He was a man of great valor. He was a man of great strength. Let's read about him in chapter 5, verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Verse 2 says, now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. So they had a little girl that was basically enslaved to them. Okay, from Israel. This was a time, if you know what's going on in the scripture here, Israel was constantly turning their back to the Lord, turning to idols, and God was letting them kind of have what they deserved. He was letting them suffer the consequences so that they would hopefully turn back to the one true God. So verse 3 says, she said to her mistress, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. And this is an amazing part of the story right off the bat here, because you got this girl that's basically the enemy and she has compassion on Naaman and says, oh man, if Naaman knew this man of God in Samaria and Israel, he could be healed. And she had compassion for him. And Naaman's wife hears this and she tells Naaman, and Naaman gets this truth from this little girl and he starts walking or moving towards obedience because he heard truth. It's an amazing picture right here. So the first thing I want you to hear as you're thinking about your plans again, your plans versus God's plans, maybe tonight the first S I want you to hear is that you would seek his plan. Okay? And Naaman, that's what was going on with him. He had to decide, is what this little Israelite girl, is what she's telling me, is it true? And if it is, I'm going to seek out whatever the God's plan is for this. And so what happens is, the cool part of the story, there's many cool parts, but in this part, he tells his king in Syria, he says, hey, will you tell the king in Israel that I heard there's this guy that can heal me? And so the Syrian king tells the king of Israel, and Israel's king at the time says, hey, man, who am I? This guy's telling me he wants me to heal him, heal this commander named Naaman. He goes, who am I, God? I'm not God. I can't do this. And he tears his robe in distress. And what happens that's so great is, again, God's weaving this story. He's weaving the story. He's doing things that we can't really see until we look at it. We see what God's doing. And Elisha hears that the king tears his robe. And so Elisha says, hey, what are you tearing your robe for? What's the problem? And he says, hey, send the guy to me so that he will know there's a prophet in Israel. Well, so Naaman gets that word and he decides he's going to go see Elisha. And I want you to notice, if you read in the story, what happens is Naaman begins to gather a lot of things because he thinks he's going to have to pay this man. And so it says in verse 5, which I don't have on the screen, but it says, so he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He's bringing all the stuff to say, man, if I pay this guy, he's going to deliver the goods for me. He's going to cure me of my leprosy. And so God begins to unfold his plan. Here's what I want to tell you is that we just never know how God's at work. And sometimes we just need to be more attentive. Like, Lord, what are you doing? When something's hard, hey, Naaman was in a hard spot. Even though he was this great warrior, he had leprosy. And he's like, Lord, what are you doing here? And then this little girl tells me that I need to leave my land and go, what are you doing? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? And a couple of weeks ago here at Gather, it was really fun. One of the tables, some ladies had come from another city to Dallas for a work conference. And they'd heard about Gather. And so they decided, hey, they'd heard about Watermark and Gather. So they came and they got to hang with some of you. And so what they thought, well, I'm just going to this work conference. God had this other plan for them to come to Dallas and come here and hear about Jesus and be around other people who love him. Don't you love it when God does stuff like that? We got our own plans. God's got other plans. And the question is, will we seek out his plan? The second S I want you to hear is that Naaman surrenders to his plan. And surrender is a tough word for us. That means we're relinquishing control. If someone came up and you know, they put a gun, you'd put your hands up, I surrender. It's what we do when we worship sometimes, when we're raising our hands. We're not touching God. It's a symbolic picture of, I'm surrendering my life to you. I need more of you. And so let's read what happens here. As Naaman goes to see this man of God in verse 9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that you would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and he'd wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. He goes, are not Arbania and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. I love this picture right here because I think this is so many of us. Okay, God begins to unfold his plan. And the great line in this verse at the top is he says, I thought he was going to do this. I thought you were going to do this. Another way to say it is, I expected you to do this. My expectations weren't met. And what happens with Naaman here is he's so prideful, he starts to move away from God's plan. And I wonder about that for you tonight. Is there something that God's doing where you don't really understand what you're doing? You had it all drawn up in your mind how God was going to work. And what happens with Naaman is he goes and he says, I got all these plans and I want him to come out and do this glorious feat of strength, you know, cure the leper. And he had it all planned out. And God goes, no, I'm going to do it different. And so for you, as you think about at your table tonight or in your group or in this room, I'm sure there's many of you guys might say, hey, I expected a different plan. I expected that I might have a spouse. But now I expected that. I expected maybe God to bring me a high-paying job, not the one that I want, one that I'm passionate about and that I love, and I just get up every day and I can't wait to get there. You ever thought that? Okay, expectation. I expected God to keep me from any kind of sickness. Man, I didn't expect to have some of the struggles physically I'm having with my health. There's like expectations out there that you go, man, you just decided, here's where the temptation was for you, like it is for me. Lord, I got my plans. I'm going to draw them up for you, and then stamp them. And what I would tell you is what I've seen in the scripture over and over is that God works in the midst of when he doesn't do it the way we want. A lot of times because what we have to do is we have to continue to go, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I want to surrender. I want to trust you. I want to build a relationship with you. I want to know you more. And if you were to answer everything that I drew up, then would I continue to seek you is the question. So what happens with Naaman here is look what his in verse 13, after he gets, don't you love too what he says about the Jordan? He's gone, the Jordan, that's a dirty river. I don't want to go there. We got better rivers where I'm from. And see, that could be another thing. The Lord's using something that you would kind of go, man, that's really hard. I don't really want to go there. But if you knew you were going to be healed, you knew you were going to know the Lord, you were going to have a deeper relationship with him, wouldn't you jump at it? It's a little bit like me with the basketball thing. If I knew that I was going to have a closer walk with Christ and he was going to set kind of my path for the rest of my life in these college years, I would go, thank you, Lord. I don't want to play basketball at OCU. Okay, I want to be about your stuff. And so some of you right now, you're frustrated with the rivers that God has for you. And it's just turned you mad and angry towards God and you've run away from him. And he's going, here's my hand. You want to trust me? My ways are better. They're higher than your ways. I'm worthy of your trust. So what I love what happens here in verse 13, he says, but his servants came near to him and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? Don't you love this? These are some servants right here. And let me ask you this. Is anybody in your life right now playing that servant role with you? Maybe you're mad at the Lord and they're going, hey, if you would just remind yourself what God says about it, he loves you. Okay. If you would not lean on your own understanding, if you would trust the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, man, turn to him. Don't run from him. They're being a servant to you. They're giving you great counsel. They're trying to tell you where life is, where you can be restored and have a relationship with Jesus. And you've got some servants in your life, and are you going to listen to them? Tonight, that may be the role I get to play with you. I get to be God's servant in your life just to tell you truth. And what I would tell you is that the Lord is enough, and there's nothing better than him. If you drink from another well, it will only leave you thirsty. Okay? Jesus is living water to those who are thirsty. He's the bread of life to those who are hungry. He is rest for those who are heavy laden. And we look to everything else and he's going, there's no life there. There's life in me. Trust me. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And all the other things will kind of fall into place the way they should. And so do you have some servants right now in your life? Maybe here's some thoughts I had about, maybe this is what some of you are maybe doing. I'm tempted to do this too. Maybe you said, man, I'll go to church a couple times a month, but I'm not going to be confessing sin. Or even though I know God's word, James 5:16, confess your sin to one another, you might be healed. Someone might need to tell you that. A servant might need to go, hey, you know what? That's what God's word says. It calls us to live in the light. John 3 says, men love darkness. We hate that our deeds will be exposed. And so that may be one way that you're kind of going, I want to do what I want to do. Another way, I'm okay with God being part of my life. Okay, it's okay on certain days, but I still want to do what I want to do. I'm not giving him everything. And a servant would say to you what Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but it ends in death. That was what a servant would tell you. Do you realize you're going to run after that stuff, but it's only going to leave you wanting? So I think the Lord would want you to be a servant to a friend, by the way. That's why we love community around here, because we want to be people who are pointing each other to truth. And we want to say, hey, will you, sometimes in my community group, I need guys to go, hey, Bron, this is where life is. Let me remind you what God's word says, because I might be chasing something that I know that, and I should know, but I'm deceived into thinking there's life there. And they're going, hey, remember what the word says. Remember how the Lord would direct you. That'd be a servant to me. They'd be loving me. The last thing is this that I want you to grab from this passage is that salvation is in his plan. Okay, and so I want you to remember this. Naaman, what he had to do was humble himself. He finally listens to these servants. Look at verse 14. So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in that dirty Jordan. Can you believe he did it? According to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And so he humbles himself. And what I want you to see is this is another, I love how we've pointed out to you all summer long. The Old Testament points to Jesus all the time. This is another great picture. Leprosy in this story is an amazing picture of our sin. It's an illustration of it. We could have the armor of our positions and the armor of our personality, and we may look like we've got it all together, but the reality is every one of us struggles with sin. And until we put our trust in the one who made provision for our sin, the one who died on the cross, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again and conquered sin and death, that we might have life, you could say, Lord, I don't bring anything to the table. And what did Naaman want to do? He wanted to try to pay for it, didn't he? He brings all his gold and his chariots and all this stuff, and he thinks, man, if I could just pay for this. And God, in his way of pointing this out, Elisha, what's so amazing, Elisha doesn't even go out there. He sends a servant because it's always been about what God's going to do and not about the man of God. It's about God working through him. And so I would tell you, like Naaman, we're tempted to go, Lord, well, I got to get my act together. Or if you knew how bad this leprosy was, this sin that I am in, leprosy is a great picture because it eats away your flesh. Sin will eat away at you. Leprosy is a great picture of sin because leprosy spreads, and sin many times, most time, leads to more sin. And so what we have to do is surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, man, I realize the only place I'm going to be restored with you, with a holy God and a sinful man, is through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for me and made a way for me to know the Father. And so it's an amazing, amazing picture of that. I read a quote by D.L. Moody. He said, Naaman lost his temper, then he lost his pride, and then he lost his leprosy. And I wonder for you guys, if there's some place right now where you go, man, I just need to recognize my sin and confess it to the Lord and to others and go, hey, here's where I'm trying to respond and try to do it on my own. And then where do I need to humble myself? Where would the Lord say, hey, if you'll just humble yourself and trust me? Every time I look in the scripture about humility, it goes well. Okay, when you're clothed in it, the humble will be exalted. It calls us to humble ourselves, to think of ourselves less, and to give glory to God. And then the last thing is that he lost his leprosy, and this is what we've been talking about at the end here. Salvation, there's salvation found in no other name but the name of Christ. Scripture's so clear on that. And so I hope you're encouraged tonight that we are much like Naaman. And if you're busy trying to figure out your plans and you're frustrated and you kind of hit the wall, be reminded of a story that he would seek out God's plan, okay, that he would surrender to God's plan, and he'd find salvation in his plan. Let me pray. Father, thank you for just the way the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was where this all started, that you began your plan. You made this covenant with Abraham, and then you worked through Moses, then you the Davidic covenant, and it all pointed, it all led to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God, the provision for us. And so I thank you that in the midst of our leprosy of sin, that you tell us in your word in Romans, that if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. Our leprosy, we can be made washed white as snow and be clean. Not because of anything we've done, but because we've accepted your provision for us on the cross. So would you bless our conversations now at the table? Would you help us to encourage each other? And thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Y'all discuss this at your tables.